Are you cold? Who's cold? Because I'm going to shut this other one off here in a minute. Oh, that goes without saying. Let's read together. We're going to read verses 1 through 4 of Hebrews chapter 1. Let's begin. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. And may God add a blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. Let me shut this thing off. Go ahead, be seated. Alrighty, that's why it's important that you sit next to your spouse or one of your children, because if you get cold, you can hug each other, okay, and be there. Before I start the message this morning, which is entitled The Miracle of the Message, if it would, we have another announcement that we would love to make to you at this point, and I'm going to pull this thing out so you can see what I mean by this. This week, Ken and I were heading, actually I was going to my house and then taking Ken down to pick his truck up in Benton, and we got word that we needed to talk to our lawyer, our church lawyer, and he said, come down and pick up a check, an estate check for $150,000 for your building fund. And so we've reached phase one. We've reached it with $250,000. Actually, we used some of it, of course, to buy the prints and stuff. But I think $40 was given last week as well. So it was $150,000, $40 that came in. Took us over the top, and we just praise the Lord for it. And we need to rejoice and thank God for that. So we'll put that right here. There we go. So we'll get that up where we can keep an eye on it. We'll get another one made for phase two. We have a two-phase program. And I realized, God is doing things. You know, I said last week, I know God is doing things. I never expected this. All right? Now, I want you to understand that over a year ago, we were told that we were named in an estate. And it's been well over a year that came about, and we praise the Lord for it and thank the Lord for it. And that, by the way, comes about because our men and our ladies are so outgoing. They help people, and people appreciate that. And whether it's doing the flood down in Benton and helping those folks and doing what we did there, or helping other people that need something done, God is just honoring that. And then also with the idea that we get to pray with people and share the word of God with people, that's a blessing and it's an encouragement to us. And we thank the Lord for it. I have had the privilege, I guess, although I didn't take much advantage of the privilege, to grow up around deaf people all my life. Our neighbors across the street from us who moved in, lived in the house my mom was born and raised in, and one son still lives there. They were deaf. The father, the mother, and the son were deaf, and there could be some communication. My dad could communicate with Mr. McNulty better than I could. Of course, I never really made it a point to. I did have some friends in high school, the Hawes brothers. They weren't deaf, but their parents were, so they knew sign, and they would sign back and forth. I was in their home many times, and it was a challenge trying to communicate with deaf folks. And it's especially special when we see parents talking to their children. You all remember the Goodmans that were here so much, and the girls that were here, and they, you know, these folks have a see how they talk? They talk while I'm preaching, okay, just so you know that. And they are asking questions and learning and growing, and that's the way the Goodmans were, that's the way the girls were. And as hard as I tried to talk to our deaf neighbors, it wasn't easy. So I thought about this for a little, and I want to ask you a question. Have you ever thought what it would be like if your children had been born hearing impaired? How you would have responded to that? I would think that we would want to learn sign language because I would want to be able to communicate with my child. They need to learn it. We need to learn it. And I want them to know that they're loved. I want them to know they're cared for. And, you know, a part of our family. I would want them to know how valuable they are to me and my wife, but also how valuable they are to God and how God cares about them. And learning sign language truly would be an expression of love. Now, what a joy. And my wife and I talk about this a lot. Now, she's hurting this morning, but she's here because of this ministry that she has. My wife got a burden many years ago to learn to communicate with the hearing impaired. And that started in a dentist's office as she was a secretary there or receptionist there or whatever. And truly, I have failed to learn sign language like she has. You might all recall that I was expelled from her class. So I haven't learned it. But I thank God because the deaf folks that we have and who have been coming here are a lot smarter and know how to communicate with us, even though we have not always learned how to communicate with them the way we should. And we can do that. We can learn to do that and ask the Lord to help us. So as I watched the deaf communicate with one another, I could not help but reflect upon the significance of what God has done for us. It's very important for me. So I thought of this, believe it or not, as a living parable. We are here on earth. We're busy living our lives, pursuing whatever our own agenda is, but we are so often deaf to God's voice. Deaf to God's voice. We do not hear what God is trying to say to us. We don't listen. He has been trying to communicate his message, but we are not getting it. All right? Rather than give up in frustration, God loves us so much that he so desperately wants to reveal himself to us and help us to know his word in a way that we can understand. And so ultimately, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, and as it says in Hebrews chapter 1, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his son in a way that we can understand. And I think that's just wonderful and marvelous. The miracle of Christmas is the miracle of the message that God has sent to us. And it's not enough just to know about the miracle of Christmas. We need to experience that miracle in our own hearts and in our own lives. I used last Sunday, and I'm going to be using a Christmas movie. The original came out in 1947. 1 year or 2 years before I was born, but it was one that I have truly enjoyed watching over the years, called Miracle on 34th Street. And last week we talked about the fact that Kris Kringle showed up at just the right time to help save the Thanksgiving Day parade and become the store's Christmas Santa, so on and so forth. Now, I'm using this as a parable to help us. And however, it's the 1994 version, a new version that came out in 1994, there is a scene that really caught my eye. In fact, it did in 1947 version did as well, but the 1994 one did. And that was a little girl had come into the department store to see Santa Claus. Her mother had brought her. And part of the plot that was going on was that Mrs. Walker's daughter did not believe in Santa Claus. All right, nobody did. And they, of course, gave him a rough time. And he had to go to court, you know, and the lawyer had to prove that he was Santa Claus and all that. And Mrs. Walker's daughter, however, did not believe in Santa Claus. But she witnessed something that checked her spirit. She witnessed Kris Kringle communicating with a little girl in a way that the child could understand. The little girl was deaf, and Santa Claus signed to her so she could understand. If you go to the 47 version, it was a little Dutch girl who didn't speak English, and so in that version, he spoke to her in her language. But it's whether it's another language or the deaf folks here or the kids, God wants to communicate even as Chris did to this little girl. And that's the miracle of the message. He was able to communicate with a girl in a way that she understood. He was able to speak her language. And God sent Jesus to communicate his message in a way that we can understand. Let's go back here and look at verse 1 and 2, just verses 1 and 2. God, who at sundry times in divers manners, at many times and in many ways, spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. The miracle of the message is this: God speaks to us today through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's so important. And we can know him, and we can draw near to him. Now, the first part of that verse, God spoke to us in many ways, in many places, that talks about the fact that God has spoken throughout history. Folks, you can read your Bibles, and you'll know that God wants us to know. He's been speaking throughout history to reveal himself to us. He wants us to know him. He wants us to love him. He wants us to worship him. He reveals himself through his creation. For example, through the sunrise and sunset. As we came over this morning, I thought, what a beautiful morning it was, the sun shining, so on and so forth. And we know in this time of the year, it doesn't always stay that way. Through the sun, the moon, and the stars, the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows forth his handiwork. So the Bible says we're without excuse, even with our own conscience, that we're without excuse for not knowing that God is there. God spoke to Moses from a burning bush. God spoke to Elijah in a still small voice in the cave where he ran and hid. God spoke to Isaiah in a vision in the temple. He even spoke through a donkey to get his message out. He has spoken. God has been speaking messages through visions and dreams, through angels, through the Urim and the Thummim of the priest. David called for it. In Ziklag, should I go after, should I pursue? And God spoke to him in that way, taking care of that. He speaks through symbols and natural events. He speaks in so many ways down through history. There's no lack of variety in how God speaks to us. His revelation is not a monotonous activity that must occur in the same way all the time. That's not what he does. Now, today, we have the written word of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, and so everything needs to line up with that. We understand that, and we need that. God has been speaking throughout history in a variety of places through a variety of means to make himself and his will known unto us. And that's why I say Romans chapter 1 verse 20, the Bible says we have absolutely no excuse for saying that God has not spoken to us. None. We have no excuse because God has spoken to us. Prior to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, however, it had been over 400 years since there had been a word from God. It was called the 400 years of darkness. When Malachi finished and last his last utterance of the message that God gave to him, in the book of Malachi, to the book of Matthew, when John the Baptist came on the scene, there had been no prophet speaking. There had been nothing given at that time. It was called the silent years. And God's Old Testament revelations were fragmentary, they were occasional, and progressive, because not a single one of them contained the whole truth, but only parts of the truth. And that's why it's so vital and so important to study the Old Testament and to see the things that were going on. They could not actually capture the full practice, or excuse me, the full picture of God's nature. One point God was a judge, another point God was gracious, and God worked in different ways and blessed in different ways, and God had been speaking, but the people were not getting the message that God had for them. They did not understand God's heart, they didn't understand his plan. And at times, and you know that, particularly if you read Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, you'll find that there were those who claimed to be speaking for God, but were not. They only misrepresented him to other people, and that caused a lot of confusion and doubt in the lives of the people. So that's a basic history up until Christ. But as it says here in Hebrews chapter 1, hath in these last days. I think I preached a message here some weeks ago, many weeks ago, maybe outside and inside, that since the birth of Christ, we have been living in the last days. We are in the last days, have been for 2,000 years, and yet you and I believe that we're living in the latter part of the last days, expecting Christ to come at any moment. God, at last, sent his Son to bring the message to us that he wanted us to hear. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. He got his message out through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And through Christ, God revealed himself directly to us. All you had to do is read Isaiah, read Jeremiah in particular, and, or go back into Chronicles, Kings and Chronicles, and read how many of the kings back there would not listen to a godly prophet. They wouldn't pay attention to him, but listen to false prophets. And so that whole mess was going on. But now Jesus came, and you know, I'll say it right now, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. We talked in Sunday school this morning, as Scott taught this morning, and brought up this matter of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so we must believe what the Bible teaches us about Jesus Christ. It's true that God revealed himself through the words of the Lord Jesus. There's no doubt about that. Jesus said, have you not read? He pointed out who he was. He pointed him back to the Messianic Scriptures. Have you not read? You do err not knowing the truth. You've got to have faith. You've got to believe what God has said, what he's done. But he did more than that. His miracles, his healings, raising the dead, and particularly raising the dead. And yet the response of people, religious people, was to reject him, because there was nothing mingled with faith. They didn't have faith. Their trust was in their positions, their trust was in their power, their trust was in their program and what they were doing religiously there. Jesus Christ is the living, divine Son of God, and he did more than just proclaim God's message. He himself was God's message to this world. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ, Messiah, the Lord. That's the proclamation to the shepherds. And when they came and they saw, and they went away rejoicing and spread that news wherever they went. Jesus came to reveal God. He came to make him known to us in a way that we can understand. And I want you to look at verse 3 again there. It says, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. God in flesh, people. God in human form. God, our Savior. That's who he was. He upholds all things by the word of his power. He was at creation. Do you not realize that? He was there. John's gospel describes Jesus as the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and he made all things, and without him was nothing made that was made. But then verse 14 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten Son of God. And that's what he's saying right here, the express image of his person. And then his work of salvation, of redemption, when he had by himself purged our sins, ascended and sat down at the right hand of God the Father. I'm telling you, that's a glorious truth. That's what Christmas is about. That's what the birth of the babe, the Lord Jesus, he had to be born in Bethlehem. You come out, if you want to come out tonight and we talk about the miracle of hope, we're going to use Micah's prophecy. And we're going to share some things about hope. And it's just an exciting thing to think about and see that. John tells us that. And if you want to know what God is like, you need to look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember when Jesus said, let not your hearts be troubled? If you believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. A little later on, there was a discussion going on, and Philip says, show us the Father, and it'll suffice us. And Jesus said, Philip, have I been so long a time with you, and yet you've not known the Father? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Earlier in John chapter 10, he says, I and my Father are one. We're the same. When you see Jesus Christ, you see God the Father. I do always those things that please him. That's what he said. I came to do that for him. Christmas is the celebration, people. Well, the miracle of the message is not just the fact that God speaks to us today. That's wonderful. That's a wonderful thing. But the message that he speaks has the power to change lives. Change lives. You hand out a tract. You give out the Word of God. You witness to someone. Share Christ with them. That Word has the power to change a person's life. And that power keeps on changing lives. Christmas is a celebration of the greatest message ever proclaimed. God is with us. God came near so that we could draw near to him. Notice what it says there when he had by himself purged our sins. That phrase. Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 2:6, and he says this of Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all. Now listen, to be testified to in due season. The gospel. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. What a glorious and wonderful truth. Jesus came so that God could reveal himself, so that God could reveal his plan in a way that we could understand. We go back to the Old Testament. We try to read about the building of the temple. And it's a little challenging. We try to read the book of Leviticus and understand about the priestly responsibilities. And it's pretty tough. And yet, listen to what I'm telling you. Every one of those things point to Jesus Christ. All of that points to Christ. All the detail looks ahead, even in Genesis. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, but thou shalt bruise his heel. I'm telling you, God has been pointing to Christ in many ways and in many places, through many means. And here's Abraham. God called Abraham out of the Ur of Chaldee. He said, I want you to leave, but I want you to go to a place that I'll show you. He had to follow God all the way to get to the place where God wanted him to be. God didn't say, I want you to go from point A to point B, and point B is over here. He said, I want you to leave point A and follow me. And by the way, that's the way we're supposed to live our Christian life. Once we know Christ as our Savior, we allow the Lord to lead us and guide us where we should be going. Jesus came to proclaim God's message that we could be set free from sin's bondage, sin's hold on our lives. I love what the scriptures teach. Paul has taken this to the level that we need to understand when he says that sin no longer has dominion over you. You understand that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness because of his blood. But then he says sin no longer has to rule. You not only can be forgiven for the penalty of sin, but you're forgiven for the power of sin in your life. Sin doesn't have the right to rule in the life of a child of God. To whom you yield yourself servants to obey, that's whose servant you are. It's a wonderful, wonderful truth. You ask the question, why would he do that? And it's very simple. Because he wanted us to know how much, how very much he loved us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. No greater time right now, ever. Every Christmas I've said the same thing. Christmas is a wonderful time. Easter is a wonderful time to share your faith in a greater way than even in a normal part of your life. To share Christ, to share that gospel message. But I'm telling you right now, 2020, this year, is a great, great, great opportunity to share the love of God through Jesus Christ, through the Christmas message. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. He wanted us to know that he created us for a reason. He has a purpose for all of our lives. You reach people that I don't reach. I reach people that you don't reach. We all do that. We all have that responsibility to share. He wanted us to know that he wants us to love him and know him in return. That's called fellowship. That's the problem with the Laodicean age we live in. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. That's the picture. You've seen the picture. Jesus standing outside the door. There's no door handle on that door. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man will open to me, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. And don't think that that's talking about salvation. That's talking about fellowship. That's talking about you and your relationship with Jesus Christ because of the babe, because of the message of Christmas. He came to proclaim that message that we have been set free and that we do not have to live as prisoners of guilt and regret. Because if the Son therefore shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. So the question is, are you listening? Are you hearing His voice? The miracle of the message, God's love for you and me. We need to believe that the message God is speaking to you and I is a message from which we will never be the same. We'll never be the same. It'll change your life. And it keeps on changing your life. It doesn't matter how old we are. It doesn't matter how many years we've been saved. That message keeps on changing. Christmas should be a time of realizing that God sent Jesus Christ at the right moment in history with the right message. And next Sunday morning, and by the way, a message of hope. That's what we'll preach tonight. Next Sunday morning, God willing, we're going to preach about the miracle of the method. All of it. What a blessing. Father, I thank you and praise you for allowing us to be together. I thank you for the Word of God. It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. I ask God that you might do a work in our hearts and lives this Christmas more than ever before. There are people who are afraid. There are people who are confused, struggling with what's going on in our world. In fact, I think a lot of us are. But our hope and our confidence, our assurance, our faith is in you, Heavenly Father, and in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Word of God, the written Word of God as well, because it's truth. Every bit of it is truth. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.